Welcome to Maximum Geek. I'm Jeff Kervin.
And I'm Josh Curry, and this is the 50th Maximum Geek.
Woohoo!
5-0.
That's woo!
Like 5-0. And in honor of our 50th episode, we're
we got nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. We're going completely off the cuff. No show notes. This is Max Geek in the Raw, just like the olden days. Back when we used to record episodes and just not use them because they were that bad. Okay,
tell
that
me,
only happened once, and I blame that all on Will.
Okay, tell me you actually do have something to work from as show notes.
I might. Okay. One thing I know we wanted to talk about was From a Buick 8 is a Stephen King novel that Jeff really digs. He digs it. Yeah, kind of like a dwarf digging in the earth. With a little pickaxe. And that wasn't a height crack, even though you are short and chubby.
I am not short.
Swear.
I might be portly, but that's as far as I'll go.
Dude, I can rest my elbow on your forehead. I'm just saying.
Yes, well, that's because you're like 18 feet tall, and really, who wants that?
I'm only 6'2", you freaky freak of nature.
Anyway,
from a Buick 8.
I'm 5'9", by the way, which is the human average for males.
So, now, you're only average, huh?
Now, what I'm not mentioning is that all those Chinese are pulling down the average, but, damn it!
and you can't forget the, I was gonna go to a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory place, but...
See, I was gonna go to the Indonesian Hobbits, because Indonesian Hobbits are cool.
We talked about that on the show once.
We did talk about the Indonesian Hobbits, yes.
We've talked about a lot of things on the show over the year. It's been almost a year, man.
Yeah. It's,
I'm pretty sure we caught up.
And oddly, we haven't scared away everyone yet, so,
just most of them. But anyway, From the Buick 8 is, according to Jeff, one of the creepier, more psychedelic...
not really psychedelic. It's just... It's a story of a,
Buick 8.
It's not a Buick 8. It just looks like
looks
a Buick
like
8.
A Buick 8. Looks like a Buick 8.
It's a story
it like
of
a
this...
Buick 8, a Datsun.
Of this artifact being cared for by these Pennsylvania state troopers, which turns out to be a portal to a completely different dimension.
I like
And occasionally things disappear into it, and occasionally things come out of it.
I travel at portals.
I really enjoyed the heck out of the book, and I was happy to hear that they were going to be making a movie, and happier still to find out that it will be directed by none other than
George Romero. That's right, George Romero, who happens to be
they're looking
horror director.
Yeah, they're looking for somebody who understands creep. Well, they got their guy. This should be a really weird, twisted film, and I'm okay with that.
I like weird, twisted film. Something I'm kind of excited about, even though I already have me a Game Boy Micro. Game Boy Micro.
Are we done? Are we done with
the Famicom? The Famicom version of the Game Boy Micro is coming out in the States now. This gives me hope that they'll eventually release a NES version, but this is the Famicom 20th anniversary version.
I'm going to pretend that I know what Josh is talking about.
This is me pretending. The first system in Japan, the family computer, the Famicom. And it had, it looked very different than the NES did here. And the new Game Boy Micro Famicom edition looks like it's colored like a Famicom controller. And,
well, that is
cool.
Excellent.
Leave me alone. I almost bought one, but they were so expensive to import. It was like $40 more than a standard Game Boy Micro, and I was like, well, fuck that. So I just need to see that that's here, and yeah. In other news, the iPod is going to get porn. That's right.
Woohoo! Porn iPod porn! iPod porn!
I'm going to have to buy one.
You're going to have to buy a fifth gen iPod, just so you... See, this... I don't know.
Porn.
When I saw that the video iPod was coming out, yeah... yeah, I knew that either Playboy or Penthouse would jump right on this.
It looks like they're both jumping right on it. I mean, you know... Actually, Suicide Girls was the first to jump on it, or one of the first... Suicide Girls already does a free iPod video. Well, they're
but,
not really porn, they're art. So
yeah, that's, they're very artsy.
But they're porn. But they're still porn. And they're pierced. Pierced porn. I like pierced porn. Anyway.
So anyway, I mean, yeah, it was only a matter of time before somebody, you know, started running with this. I'm just starting to wonder, you know, given this and, you know, people, you know, throwing TV, you know, episodes on these, is Apple going to find that 60 gig was too conservative for the high end?
I don't think so. Well, I mean, I think that next year we'll see an 80 gig and maybe 100 gig, but I think they were more going for the slimmer, trimmer, sleeker, yet not more expensive iPod, because they are slimmer, the fifth generation iPods.
Yeah, the 30 gig fifth gen is, from what I understand, scarcely bigger than two nanos strapped together. But
nano. Oh,
I don't know.
Nano.
I gotta wonder how much... how much do you really need to carry around with you at any given time? I mean, you know, right now on my Trio, on my 1 gig SD card, I've got 4 hours of Firefly. The first 3 episodes, one of which was the 2-hour pilot. And, and a bunch of podcasts, and a bunch of ebooks, and I stream everything else. And I'm just wondering, yeah, you know, how much do you really need to carry with you locally? I'm starting to think that the idea, you know, that the iPod is definitely onto something, but I think the iPod isn't going to really become what it can be until it includes some kind of ubiquitous networking and can stream as much as it stores.
Hey, don't say ubiquitous around me.
Josh, you don't seem to think streaming is as big a deal as I do.
No, you're all about the streaming. Well, first of all, you find me... I think only geeks at this point really want to connect through everything through their cell phone, which is really what you're talking about. when you say streaming, we're a long way from just Wi-Fi hotspots, and even at that point, they're not just going to be open
about
and free for
but what about
UTMS? To go, hey.
You could have an iPod that has a UTMS radio in it that isn't a cell phone. It just uses... Yeah, a cell phone network for its data.
And so now you have another payment to make for your iPod connectivity.
No, not necessarily. Depends on how
you have a larger payment to make for your cell phone.
That's probably more likely.
Well, but either way, okay, I would rather Bluetooth so I can just connect through my cell phone. I mean, given those options,
you're not winning me over with saying,
well, you can put your own radio in the iPod.
You lose enough in the transmission with Bluetooth that streaming really loses a lot of its, I can stream radio stations on my Trio that I could never manage to successfully stream on my T5 and my Bluetooth cell phone. The extra overhead of the Bluetooth connection tears down too much of the connection.
Well, okay, that's fine. But you're not going to convince me that a UTMS radio in an iPod is going to... I mean, we don't need the extra cost. I mean, until there's another solution, I don't think we'll be seeing that anytime soon. I think that's light years away. I don't think we'll ever see an iPod with its own cellular radio in it, you know, using the cell network to get its data. I think it's far more efficient the way it is. And streaming, like I said, in the iPod generation, no one thinks streaming. Streaming does have its limitations. Streaming is not 100%. First of all, especially if you're on a cellular network, I'm in a dead spot. Well, now I'm screwed. Now I'm in the middle of listening to this or middle of watching this, and whatever I've got queued up is gone. Now I'm, I've got a couple of minutes, so I don't want to go and listen to, you know, something or watch something that I've already got on it. So I might as well, you know, just not do anything. You know, until it's a complete blanket over the country and you're not paying extra, I mean, they're really, right now, the rumors are they're going to start really cracking down on bandwidth because it's become a real issue. Before, they just kind of ignored the people who were using all the bandwidth. They could have charged them, but unless they really, really, really went insane, they never did. But, you know, the cellular networks aren't moving to being friendly towards this. Just from a data standpoint, they want to charge you for every little tiny piece of data you use.
Yeah, that's true.
I just think that right now, you know, eventually streaming will become the way of the world, but you won't be streaming, you know, you'll be completely, everything will be streamed, though. You'll have no real storage on you. All your storage will be in a centralized location, you know, at your house or even far away from you completely, you know, on some server farm, and that's where all the storage will be. I can definitely see that as a future way of doing things, but I think that's a long way away. I mean, I don't want to say I'm against streaming because I think in a lot of ways streaming is the future. And you'll just have little, slightly more capable devices that stream information. You'll get better hardware, but no storage, so prices won't really be an issue then. But things like either WiMAX or we're really going to have cellular networks everywhere. But until coverage is 100%, I'm not a fan of it. I don't stream anything. I'm forever, when I'm at work, accessing files on my home computer. But I never stream anything.
See, I stream all day long. And I just think it's really cool.
Okay. You also don't pay your cell phone bill, so you don't care whether you end up getting charged for it or not. Well, you will when your boss comes to you and say, hey, why are we charged for it? But
that's when I blame it on one of the executives. I don't know. It wasn't me.
But, you know, hey, Mayday, get. My dog is scratching up the carpet for some reason. I don't know what you're going for, dumb dog. There's nothing under there. Oh, and she has gas. Excellent. Woo! Woo!
Well, thank you for sharing.
She shared? Why shouldn't I? You don't have to actually smell it. I don't want to hear it. But, I mean, I get that streaming can be cool, but if you're sitting in your office and you always have a good signal, it's great. If you're driving around Aurora, don't tell me it's great, because I know how bad the cell reception can be in Aurora.
And honestly, it hasn't been that big of a problem.
Well, okay, you also, you're confined to, for most of your week, a small section of Aurora. You don't go out where I lived.
Nobody goes out where you lived.
Except for all the people who live out there. It's the fastest growing part of the city.
People.
So, in your situation, or if you live in New York, I'm sure that people think streaming is great, but it does have very limited usefulness right now. And in the future, like I said, a cellular radio and an iPod, I just, cost-wise, in general, for the end user, is ridiculous. I don't think that'll ever happen. And until we see some next-gen Wi-Fi, I mean, there's a lot of next-gen solutions they're working on. There's a lot of things they're looking at, and it'll need to be truly covering everywhere. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't see the market for it right now. And streaming may be the future, but I think bigger iPods are the immediate future, probably for the next 5 years or so. I'd say through 2010. Because as much as the cellular companies like you to believe, they're going really, really fast to these super high bandwidth that cover everywhere networks. Yeah, they're big cities, you might be okay, but I don't know. Like I said, I think for your situation it's great and all that, but I think it's just as easy for most people to be able to
carry it all with them
at night. Yeah, carry it all with them. I mean,
to be data sherpas. Data sherpas.
My point is, with 60 gig, who needs streaming?
Well, 60 gig.
Video.
Yeah, even with given that I'm re-encoding all of my, I'm ripping all of my DVDs to only 320 pixels, wide. Because I know I'm going to be playing them on a Trio or an iPod.
Okay.
Same size screen either way.
Uh-huh.
I could only hold about 450 episodes of your average, 43-minute sci-fi.
So
hey,
you watch them every day?
So you throw all the Babylon 5, all of the Star Trek, and all of the Stargate on there, and you're like full.
Oh, gee. Really? Is that all you get on there? Oh, man. But you think most people really want to carry their entire collection with them?
Well, that's what I'm asking, is how much do you need to carry with you? Obviously, the idea of carrying around every episode of every science fiction show ever made is going overboard for most people.
Oh, okay, but talking about most people. We're not... I realize this is Maximum Geek, but when we have these debates, we need to debate reality, not geekdom.
Geekdom is
always a different answer.
Frankly,
my hard drive on my laptop isn't big enough to carry all I want to be able to carry with me.
Yeah, so, where do you draw the line? What is good enough? Where is the balance between capacity and mobility?
Right now, 60 gig is fine. I think in the next year or so, we'll start seeing 100 gig and bigger, but most people think of it like they think of their computer, and 160 gig is pretty average. Not a whole lot of people have 300 gig hard drives on their home computer, and you're really talking about geeks if they're going to have more than that. And besides, I think the way most people use their iPod video is they download a few they want to watch that day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had 400 on any given day, I think you're fine. I mean, you know, any given day, 400. You know, if you want to shuffle it, however you want to handle it. But with the overhead on your computer, you're not really doubling that with a 160 gig drive, because you do other stuff than store, unless you're really dedicated to it. And again, then you're not talking the average Joe. I mean, if we start talking beyond the average person, and we really start talking geeks, then...
Well, I mean...
Terabytes are needed.
Yeah. This is the Maximum Geek Podcast.
Okay, but let me put this in perspective. My laptop has an 80-gig hard drive, and I am fine with it.
That's because you're an underachiever.
No, I'm not. I'm just too busy to rip every DVD I own to my hard drive, which, you know, I couldn't
like
do.
Like I said,
but that's okay.
underachieving.
And besides, that would take terabytes of data. And besides, again, with the streaming that I'm not sure, where would I store it to stream it? I mean, if I'm storing it, you know, if I'm streaming it from someone who I'm also paying, then... You know, you just get real, real ridiculous at some point. But personally, I think 60 gig for now is more than enough. 100 gig by the end of next year, easy, should be plenty. And I would say if they come out with an iPod Video in the next year or year and a half, like everyone is guessing, big guessing going on there, then we'll see maybe something more like 120 gig. iPod Video. That's just a wild ass guess, but
yeah. We'll see.
Okay. Okay, now something Jeff and I agree on. How about that? I mean, not that we really disagree. Yeah. All the people out there are sleeping. All the people already fell asleep. They're like, Jeff and Josh are at it again. Let us know when they're done. Okay, wow, there's a hot chick on the TV. And she's in a Target commercial? What the hell?
That never happens.
Why is there a hot chick in a Target commercial? That's why I'm confused.
Well, you see, the problem is that you live in Kansas. A lot of inexplicable things happen there. Like people living in Kansas.
That now there will be intelligent design taught in our schools, and it really is going to happen instead of just probably going to happen. And now I have to move to Zimbabwe,
where you have to backwards.
Where they're still moving forward.
You have to homeschool your child now. Yeah, that's...
Dude, I'm just worried about what's going to happen to this country. I mean, are we going to go build a wall in Berlin because we feel like it should be the 80s again? I mean, you know, we need to stop moving backwards. I'm a little frustrated with moving backwards as a country and a society.
Yeah, I can certainly understand that.
Anyway, that was totally out of my list of topics. The thing Jeff and I agree on, other than intelligent design, is unintelligent.
Believe me, I've got a rant about that. Yeah, based on my recent illness, I gotta tell you, anytime you can have anaphylactic shock, anytime that a body's defense mechanism can threaten to kill you, what that tells me is that, yeah, if
the
humans were designed... Yeah, 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 humans are, yeah. If it's an intelligent design, it's not all that intelligent, really. I mean, we can build machines that have built-in fail-safes to prevent that sort of crap.
Okay,
yeah,
anyway.
If humans are God's design, God's a fucking moron, okay?
Wow. I'm so telling him you said that next time I have dinner with him.
Yeah, but then he's just going to fling a roll at your head and Well, it'll go straight through.
Dude, he doesn't fling rolls. He flings pieces of himself that become bread.
Oh, God.
Oh. Going to hell. All right. Sorry.
Hate mail to Tibereru at mindless.com.
Dude, after all the things I've said on this show, I'm really going to be shocked if that gets me hate mail. I'm going to be disappointed if that's the comment that gets me hate mail. In fact, I think that's one of my funnier comments. I liked it. Kind of the whole. Anyway, Nokia 770. It's going to be here, like, in a couple days.
And who gives a crap?
Well, okay, now I want to call you.
I don't.
Actually,
I don't.
But wasn't your biggest complaint the size of the screen?
No. My biggest complaint...
Okay.
My biggest complaint was the complete and utter lack of any useful memory in this thing.
Okay. So that's your complaint,
it's,
the memory, not the
yeah,
size.
As an internet terminal, it's fine. For what Nokia is saying that they want to do with it, it's fine. But it's not a computer. Don't mistake this thing for a computer. It has no local storage to speak of. The only card format it supports is a bizarre bastard stepchild of MMC that nobody uses. This is just a dumb terminal to get you online. Period. People that are they're saying, well, you can load word processing software on here, and you can play Doom, and you can... No, you can't. You can do some of these things as a test of concept, but they're never going to work. Not the way you want them to, because this device simply doesn't have the infrastructure. It doesn't have the horsepower to function as a standalone computer.
Well, and frankly, the price ain't all that attractive to me. Like I said, I was real excited when I thought it would be something real, but memory and screen size have really got me down on it. I mean, I don't need that. No need. No need. No need. There's no need.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jeff and I think it's lame.
It might have interesting descendants. It may be an interesting sign of things to come, but the Nokia 770 itself, flop.
Wow. Alrighty. Interesting. Okay. Now let's move on to another thing that Jeff and I all agree on. Sony, they have this thing called a rootkit, which is all about their DRM. They have this really nifty DRM.
Sony must die.
That basically hides stuff from your operating system and all programs on your computer so that you can't copy their stuff.
Your Sony are belong to us.
And it turns out that... It's already, it hasn't actually been used for anything really nefarious yet, but why could it be? Apparently Sony doesn't care. Their comment on this was, well, no one even knows what a rootkit is, so why would they care? Well, when they get a virus, because your software cloaked it and allowed it to be installed on their computer, I think they're going to care. Sony is ignorant. And they don't care that this is, you know, perceived the way it is. I mean, the most interesting thing is one of the big places it was discovered was World of Warcraft. There were a bunch of cheaty bastards who, play 82 hours a day and still didn't have enough time to play. And so they'll install cheats on their computer. Well, what WoW does is it actually looks at the processes running on your computer to catch you cheating. If you're running a known cheat software, then they'll know. So, with this rootkit, they can hide that. So something not super evil, annoying and cheaty and, you know, bastardly, yes, but really, I mean, not something I would really complain too much about, and I played WoW. But it's that's an interesting place that the cheaters and the hackers of video games are the ones that first found it. How long is it before someone actually uses this for something nefarious? Now, there is a process to uninstall this software from your computer. Except for it doesn't really work, and it requires you to give them all your information. All your information. It's crazy.
Yeah?
So, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. I just can't believe that
I'm very, very unhappy with something. Now, granted, regular listeners know that I'm not a big fan of Sony to begin with, but, this is just stupid. I mean, come on. It's, hacking people's computers just to prevent them from possibly, not only to prevent them from possibly, pirating your crap, but also forcing them to only use your media player to access your crap. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, you get these Sony CDs, you can't rip them into iTunes, as I understand it. You can only play them with Sony's player, and, yeah, if you want to listen to all of your music in one place, well, screw you, hippie. This just goes even further to prove that Sony terminally doesn't get it, that they are a doomed company.
That they're anti-consumer.
Everything they do now just makes them even dumber from the consumer perspective, and there's just less and less reason to put up with their crap anymore. Yeah, I won't even, you know, if I want to go buy a CD now, if I notice that it's a Sony Music CD, I won't even buy it. I won't even attempt to take it home and see what happens. Sony's not going to get any more of my money, period. And I don't think I'm alone in this. Sony is killing themselves trying to,
killing them softly?
No.
Oh, sorry. No, Sony is bastards. I've said that before. In fact, that phrase has been in our our show notes before. Sony is bastards.
Yeah.
Pretty much Ant solves it. They're all about controlling how the consumer uses their devices. So, that's, interesting. So now, moving right along to, Jeff wants to talk about cult followings. Jeff has noticed, that a little known, some of you out there may have heard of this show called Firefly or something, I don't know, about this giant glowing bug with people in it, I don't know, I'm confused. No, okay. I know about Firefly, actually. I don't hate Firefly. I do understand why it's failed. It wasn't really Joss Whedon's fault. But at the time when I didn't know that they had made him completely re-edit the first episode, and that the first episode that aired wasn't really the first episode, I was really down on him for how quickly he just kind of jumped into everyone and didn't, like, introduce you to any of your characters, and, well, now I understand. Because it was just
if
bad.
You go back and if you watch the actual pilot in the as it was originally meant to be aired, everything fits perfectly, and then you don't get to the train job until the second episode.
Well, I mean, okay, but you start out in this, in the first episode most of us saw, you start out in this bar, and there's some fight going on, and no one understands why. And
right, that was the
there.
Train job.
I know.
Yeah, that was the train job. That was...
for those out there who never discovered it originally and or don't understand why I stopped watching it originally, it did not grab my attention. I would thought it was a neat concept, but the character buildup just wasn't there. The interest wasn't there for me. But it definitely does have a cult following. So much so that between the machinations of the fans and Joss Whedon, a movie got made. For those of you who are aware of the movie. And Jeff is really fascinated by a show that aired, what, 12 of its 14 episodes? 10 of its 14 episodes?
I think it was like 11. Let's see.
Oh. Somewhere between 10 and 14.
I've got the DVDs right here. Let's see. So out of the 14, three never aired. Trash, The Message, and Heart of Gold never aired. So, here you've got, 11 episodes originally aired. Of those, they were aired out of order and, at irregular times. And yet people still managed to find this show. Gained even more of a following when it was re-aired on Sci-Fi in the correct order with the original pilot. And then, the movie has come out and done not as well as maybe we'd hoped, but better than a lot of people expected.
Well, here's my real outrage about the movie. And I'm going to go off on this because I know you don't agree with me on this, Jeff, but it is freaking overpriced. It's coming out on DVD in December, and I understand that they're rushing it to DVD, and I would have considered buying it, except for its list price is $30 for a single disc DVD.
It's not going to be that expensive retail.
Let me finish. Its list price is the same as the two-disc Ultimate, like, Batman Begins edition. Which was far more, which is two discs, and it's a lot of information. But this is only one disc. It should be priced at a one-disc price. I understand that it'll be, like, $20.99 when it comes out. But this should be a $14.99 movie when it comes out, Jeff. This shouldn't be a $21 movie. $15.99, whatever. Wherever you want to put the scale, but this shouldn't be a $21 movie. It's just, as far as I'm concerned, they're just trying to milk every penny out of it they can. And that's stupid. Don't overcharge. The entire series lists at $34.99. What?
No, the list for the series is $45.
$45. So for $15 more, you get the entire series? Let's just look at some scale here, okay? You get the entire original series on DVD for $45 list, or you get just the movie for $30 list. And I realize you don't pay that for either of them, but it shouldn't only be, and I think I've seen it for about $30 for the entire series most places. And that's kind of what bugs me.
What is that Pac-Man noise in the background?
It's my wife, three times in a row.
Did you explain to her the first time that we're recording Max Geek? Alright, so... But, anyway, getting... The actual point that I wanted to make here was that... this series, which really doesn't have a whole lot to go on. I mean, the original season was never even completed. Has still managed to garner this enormous and devoted cult following.
I think my daughter's home. Just a second.
And, I realize that a lot of the people I realize that a lot of the people that you know, that got into Firefly got into it because of Joss Whedon. They were already Buffy or Angel fans, and they were like, well, Joss Whedon's doing a sci-fi thing. Well, let's take a look at that and see what it is. But, I'm still amazed at how much people have grafted onto this and are willing to...
Okay, I'm back.
Yeah, I know.
I tell my wife I'm podcasting and she calls me 3 times. I don't understand that.
I don't know that she understands what podcasting is then. Maybe you should have like a little class or something. Yeah. But my key question, and I'm just gonna post this to you and then we'll go because it sounds like Josh's daughter is in a mood this evening. But the question I have for the listeners feel free to comment on our forums with this is why do certain properties, certain science fiction shows in particular, since Josh and I are writing a lot of science fiction, garner this kind of cult following, and what would it take to build that kind of a devoted fan base for ebook serials?
Joss Whedon to be writing one.
That's our question for the week.
I have to go. I've got my daughter calmed down. I don't want to cut the podcast short, especially not our 50th podcast.
Well, it seems like you got a lot going on over there.
I always got a lot going on, dude. Welcome to my life. Just my wife decided to call me 3 times because she's schizophrenic or crazy. Maybe both. Wait, schizophrenic is a type of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, anyway. Pretty much.
In general.
Yeah.
No, there are definitely a lot of shows, and what I find interesting is not just that it's got this cult following, but how quickly it's gotten it. Point Pleasant got a cult following fairly quickly. There are several shows that have been like that. Now, the internets are definitely a big part of that. 5 years ago, the internet was around, but people weren't, connecting quite the same way on the internet. You know?
I can see that.
And, so I think proper usage of the internets and building a community around it is the way to do it. This is my take on it. I think building a good community and, really getting involved in it and mostly good storytelling. I think the real question here is how do we get the exposure? Because that's really what we're missing right now with Solo. Once we get the new store up and running, which we ran into a little setback, so the beta test should hopefully start Thursday.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right.
We found out that one of the things we were doing wasn't going to work. I hate that when we find out we were wrong, or Jeff was wrong. I blame all Jeff. All Jeff. It's your turn to take the blame, right? But I think building the audience is the important thing, and if we write well and keep the community going and, get feedback from our peoples...
Our peeps.
We got peeps.
That's right.
I mean, and frankly, and this is not against Joss Whedon, but I know in his early days I can write as well as he could when he was getting started. I'm not going to say that he hasn't grown as a writer and that, I can write as well as Joss Whedon does today. I'm not going to say that at all, but I know in the early days, I can write at least as well as he did. And really, that's a big part of why Firefly got the following it did is because of Joss Whedon. Not necessarily
right.
on its
and
own
I,
merit
I,
out of
I,
the box.
Yeah, I covered some of that while you were out from the sound of it, rolling boulders across your living room floor.
I did roll a boulder across my living room floor. Or
well, that would explain the sound.
It was boulder-like. A bunch of hippies doing pot.
Anyway.
Living room floor.
Boulder, come on! Colorado, Boulder, get it! Come on, Boulder!
So anyway...
If I have to explain the joke, it's not funny, is it?
No.
Are you sure? I laughed.
Yeah.
My dog's laughing. Oh, but it made my daughter cry. Maybe it's not that funny.
A lot of things make your daughter cry. You know, like you. You know,
I never make her cry. Anyway, anywho, we wanted to do something special for our 50th episode, but in the end we decided we're too lazy. I mean, we decided
which
that
really,
wouldn't be very us.
Which, yeah, I mean, honestly, doing something special and, like, putting a lot of planning into it, really just not what we're about. So...
But there really were show notes. I was just lying when I said there were no show notes. I was going off show notes.
I wasn't sure.
I had to rearrange them as we went, because you really, I could tell you didn't believe I had show notes, because you were just, like, moving on to topics that I had further down the list, and you do that sometimes, but you were doing it big this time. I was like, oh. Hey, I want to talk about,
like,
I think I found my models for my stop-motion vidcast.
Woohoo!
I've got to build me a set, but one cool thing I found, and I don't know how many of you out there are interested in the Marvel Legends action figures. Some of them aren't all that nifty. Admittedly, some of them not real cool. But the newest series and the series before that had a unique feature. They came with... each character came with a part for a larger character. In the current series, it's a 16-inch Sentinel.
Wow.
It comes in 6 parts. And I'm here to tell you, I've got 3 of them. It's freaking cool. 16-inch, super articulated. It can flip you off, okay? That's how articulated this thing is.
Although, and, really, the Sentinel's rarely bothered with that.
Yeah, but this is Sentinel with attitude. But I mean, every finger is articulated, not every joint on every finger, but all the fingers can be moved, and it's a pretty dang nifty little Sentinel. And I may have to get the 3 other action figures, even though I don't necessarily want them all, to build him. Because right now he's got no torso, left arm, but he's got a leg that's separate from the rest of him. And that's a little disturbing.
Cool.
I can stick the leg, if I had a connector, I could stick the leg up in his chest, and he could hop around like a pogo stick. But anyway, I just thought that was really nifty. The other one, the one before this, came with a 16-inch Galactus. And I may also hunt that down, because, frankly, they're cooler than I thought they would be. They're, very nifty action figures. If I had Galactus in the Sentinel, that would be the ultimate way to do my stop motion, because they're really big, they weigh good so they can be well balanced, and
now have you explained to our listeners the cast of characters you have for your vidcast so far?
Oh, well, I've picked up some Marvel characters, and I don't know what the actual characters are going to be, but the models are going to be, I've got a couple Spider-Men, I've got Black Panther. Basically, I was going for anything that you couldn't see its mouth.
Okay. That's probably not a bad idea. Although I gotta say, I really like the vocal stylings and expressions that Abe the Alien does on Alien Loves Predator. So,
well, we'll see. It's gonna take an awful lot of frames, and I don't want to abandon the stop motion thing, and I'm not doing it yet. But that is a possibility. It could be abandoned with reckless abandon. But I really want to do it. It's just, okay, 24 frames per second. And I'm shooting for only 5 minutes. So that's a lot of things. Yeah. I once I get it streamlined, it shouldn't take me more than a minute or two a frame because I'm not doing anything too intricate. But let's just say it's a minute a frame. That's 5 hours of production or so.
Yeah. That's still,
it's
yeah.
more than 5 hours of production. Let's not talk about it, because that's more than 5 hours of production.
That's why I thought you were daft to try this in the first place. But, hey, you know, if it works, it works.
I'm definitely going to try it. That's what we're doing.
And this is all for you people. I want everyone to realize that. Josh is willing to go through this much effort to not have to show us to you.
Exactly. It's so that we can just record an audio track, and I don't even know what the format for the show is going to be yet. I'm thinking talk show, but I don't want it to just be Jeff and I talking over an animation, because really, what the hell is the point of that? I mean, you know.
There's still some conceptual stuff we need to work out.
But I'm really kind of excited about this. So I am moving forward with that. Hopefully, my goal is to be in production in the next week or so, and you know, if in a perfect world, I would be done by the end of the month. But the world ain't perfect.
It's not a perfect world.
Man. Alright, so.
And Tori thinks she's Tarzan.
She always thinks she's Tarzan. And I think that's it for this 50th episode of Maximum Geek.
Woohoo!
And my wife just said, oh God. Well, she'd say, oh God, if she'd heard what we were saying about her earlier.
Yeah, well.
Whoa. Did you hear that? I've got to go.
Okay. On that note, later.
Bye.